morning, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk Over Coffee with Andre and Couch. It's me, Sonny Claus, the hardest working man in the radio. We are here. It is Friday morning. We've been off for a couple of shows, but we are back and ready to go. Summertime. Yeah, it's one of those things where sometimes we get up a little late, sometimes we got a lot of things going, sometimes people are on the road. We were able to get up and get going this morning. Andrea will be giving us a call in. She contacted me, said she's ready to go, and of course I'm ready to go. But until she gets in there, of course, there's something to talk about. We got new NBA, not new NBA champions, same NBA champions as last year. The Heat get it done. The Heat get it done in Game 7. And the game that, you know, literally came down to the last, you know, 28 seconds of the game. And we saw what LeBron James is. We saw LeBron James be the guy that steps up, gets the job done, like all great players of the game. And if anybody doesn't think that LeBron James is a great player, they got something against the guy. I understand where that comes from. And the simple fact of the matter is that people don't like arrogance, and that's one of those things that LeBron James has up on it. You know, it's that chip that's on his shoulder. It's that arrogance that he has that doesn't make him very popular with a lot of people, and it doesn't make him very popular with NBA fans and things of that sort. So I understand your disappointment this morning of those Spurs fans and those LeBron haters, and I'm one of those. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a LeBron hater, but guess what? The fact of the matter is that this guy got the job done when no one else was getting the job done, and he had to put it up on his shoulders, and he became Jordan-like. And I don't mean, you know, as far as the game, I'm talking about putting the game on his shoulders last night and taking over a game that made him what he is supposed to be, which is the next big thing. And I'll say it all day long, okay? All day long. Until the guy gets more than Kobe, this guy doesn't come close to Kobe. And I'm sorry, that's just the way I feel. I look at history, and I look at what the NBA is, and I look about who has been great in the years, and who has been great in the years have won championships, and they've won more than two. This is not like the NFL and Dan Marino, okay? Dan Marino is one of the best to ever play the game. He didn't necessarily need a championship to show that. So that's one of the things about that as well. But in the NBA, it's totally different than what the NFL is. And without question, when you look at the greats that ever played the game, they win championships. And you can say what you want about them. If they don't win the championship, guess what? They are not known as being one of the best players in the game. I mean, all you got to do is look at Kemp. Sean Kemp. You can look at some of these players that never won a championship, but they were good players. And all you can say, huh, you know, they were okay. They're pretty good. But they weren't champions. It's more important in the NBA to be a champion than it is in the NFL, although that is pretty important. But no one's going to sit here and question the greatness of one Dan Marino who didn't win one. So the NBA game is a little bit different than the NFL game, and that's usually the way it works. So let's go ahead and bring her in. She is here. It is Andrea. Good morning.
Good morning. And you, how are you?
Doing good. Having some coffee here because it is Sports Talk Over Coffee. This is a good vanilla biscotti that I got going on here this morning. And it is super good. And I'm feeling super good here on a Friday morning.
I think I'm feeling good, too. Can you hear me okay? I went to get the phone and couldn't call in and I don't know what Lenny's doing. He's doing another podcast. I think he's done about three today.
Well,
I pick up the phone to dial, and I just hear this talking about, I don't know which player, but I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because he just did a podcast at 8.
No, I was just talking a little bit about LeBron James, you know, taking over and doing the steps that he needed to be and to be known as a good player. He won the championship, put the team on his back last night and got the victory in the NBA championship for a second time in a row.
You know, I don't know. I was thinking last night that I usually like to root for the underdog. I'm really very rare that you'll ever find me rooting for a guy like LeBron James, but I just can't help it. He's one of those guys you just want to root for him. I mean, I do.
I don't know if a lot of people want to root for him because of his arrogance that he has had, but he did exactly what great players did. And as much as Coffee doesn't want to admit it in the chat room, LeBron, you know, well, oh, good, okay. LeBron is the best player in history of the game, bar none, period. He's right. But he did exactly what a player like a LeBron James should do. If he's going to be that guy, if he's going to be the best player, he's going to put his team on his back and he's going to win a championship regardless of what anybody else on the team does. That's what a Michael Jordan does. That's what a Magic Johnson does. That's what a Shaquille O'Neal does. That's what a Kobe Bryant does. They put it on their shoulders to be great basketball players, and that's exactly what we saw last night in the playoffs. He's a beast. He's a monster, and, you know, Coffee and I agree. He's just one of the best. No, I won't say history yet, and we can argue that all day long. Like I said, until he gets to Kobe status, I won't put him there. I'll always put Kobe above him, and that's just what I kind of look at it. Say again?
I mean, I'm not a huge basketball fan that much, but Lenny thinks that it's Michael Jordan that's better than LeBron, and I think it's because of his defense.
He thinks Michael Jordan is better than LeBron?
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as the best player in history, I don't know, but he certainly is good and very talented. You got to give him credit for what he does, you know?
Definitely. And Coffee is saying Kobe is a bum. Well, Kobe's not. Kobe's got, you know, rings up the wazoo, and he's one of the main reasons why, actually, if it wasn't for Kobe, they wouldn't have those rings. And you can put it all day long, you know, Pippen was a defender, but so was Michael Jordan. I'm going to tell you right now, he got defensive player of the year more times than one. I'm going to tell you right now, and rings are not irrelevant. Rings are relevant in the NBA. That's what's important in the NBA.
No tip and Pippen. That's what we call them in Portland.
What'd you call him?
No tip and Pippen, because he used to never tip good. He never tipped at all, I don't think.
No tip and Pippen.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Coffee, you know, the Twins, I think I was reading that there is like some, what pitcher is it? I'm going to have to look this up. I bet Coffee knows. Gave up 5 home runs, dude, at Minnesota, which, I mean, that ballpark is so big, it's hard to hit home runs out of. I think they might have, like, brought the fences in a little bit. I'm not positive about it, but I think I recall something about that. And then there was a pitcher that gave up 5 or 4 homers yesterday. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, in that park.
That's a lot. Like, that's
a
lot.
You would have to work to do that, for real. It's just like, what the hell? And I don't even know, because who would hit it? Tulowitzki's out. And you know that when Tulowitzki's out, Cargo doesn't do well. Wait, am I speaking of the right team? No. That's Colorado. Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm having a rough morning. Let's start over. First of all, I don't know anything about the basketball game except for the fact that I walked by it when I was going to make myself food, and I said, I kind of like to root for LeBron James. I remember this thought process going through my head. So I don't know why I like to root for LeBron James, but I do, so I hope he wins. And then, yeah, of course he did. And speaking of, maybe Coffee has an answer for us by now. Well, I'm getting his team all confused with the Mets and the Colorado Rockies and everybody else.
No, he hasn't put it up there. He did say that. He says he don't watch the Twins, so he has no idea what they do.
He doesn't watch the Twins. Well, he sure doesn't watch the baseball.
Maybe he watches Milwaukee. I don't know.
How about this one? We got maybe there's a possibility of my boy Tozawa being the closer again since Andrew Bailey just got fired yesterday.
Right. I seen that. I saw that this morning.
So, just Andrew Bailey is just not reliable, people. We've been talking, if it's not his injuries, it's the fact. I mean, and this guy, you know, it's always been, well, when he's healthy, he pitches well, like Eric Bedard, or, you know, when they're healthy. But it just makes no sense because you don't even know how they pitch when they're healthy because they're never healthy. I mean, what? They were healthy in the freaking minors, you know, before they came up. That's cool. But, like, neither one of those two have ever pitched, like, a real season, as far as I remember. I mean, and Bailey's just a closer. He can't even hang, like, 70 innings. So, just the fact that that they demoted him and basically said he's done. He comes back from injury, gives up, like, a bunch of runs. I think he's given up, like, 8 earned runs in the last since he's been back. So they said no more closing for Bailey. So whatever that does with Bailey, Pizarro's got a decent shot. I mean, you know, I just haven't seen any aggressive. I feel like Pizarro's not aggressive enough or something. He seems so timid out there. Maybe it's because of the culture difference, but he doesn't have a lot of, like, confidence in his pitches, and I think he could really be a good pitcher if he started to get a little more confident.
That's interesting. I don't know. I think that the confidence factor is a big thing in his game. And if he doesn't have it, I think it really does affect what the bottom line is for his own team. If you don't have the confidence going out there, you're going to take away from your team. So that is the big question.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, the guy hasn't really had a lot of experience. It's been, you know, you're pitching in Fenway, so there's some pressure just there with the people and the media and stuff. It's high press. But and he just hasn't had a lot of opportunity. I mean, they named this guy the closer, and here he is. He's never really had a lot of – I mean, he's gotten a save here and there, but only by accident, you know, or a win by accident. They've never given him any sort of, like, role at all. Then all of a sudden they name him the closer, and he doesn't get any opportunities to close. So it's like all those fantasy owners that go out and pick up Tozawa are kind of disappointed because, you know, you go tell me to pick up Tozawa and he's not going to get one save, you know. Now Andrew Bailey's coming back and Tozawa was totally worthless. Well, it's not my fault, dude, that he, you know, there's no – the Red Sox weren't winning at that point. But it kind of – it sucks for him because I think that some of those saves come with just – the situation that you're in, you know, being at the right place at the right time. And if you're not, then it doesn't help the motive. I mean, it just doesn't help the confidence level very good.
Oh, I agree. 100%. You got to get the confidence up, but that's always going to be a problem. And that's going to be, and the manager is going to be have the one to sense that as he moves forward into the game this year. I mean, if the manager is not up to date or taking in effect what's going on right there, that's going to fall up on the shoulder of the manager because the fact of the matter is he's got to be the one to recognize that, or his assistants are going to have to be the one to recognize that.
Well, we got, you know, in John Farrell, it's super, it's good, it's great, wonderful. John Farrell, there couldn't be a better guy for the job over in Boston, and just the fact that they've even given him opportunity this year says to me that John Farrell has some faith in his talent. You know, they're giving him opportunities, so they don't feel, from their point of view, it's looking like, you know, he hasn't disappointed them like Andrew Bailey, that's for sure.
That's true.
So I decided that I was going to give Tommy Hansen one more try. I mean, I haven't really invested a lot in Tommy Hansen, but, you know, he came up, he was supposed to be the super pitcher, and pitched in Atlanta for a while. I mean, you know, he just never, ever translated over into the bigs. Nobody could figure out what was wrong. People came up with ideas that he had, you know, that he was just – I mean, I've heard stuff from, you know, mental issues too. He's just not a good pitcher. I just don't fall for that not a good pitcher anymore. You just don't be a good pitcher and then just suck one day. I mean, there's something. It's an underlying illness of some sort, whether it's in your head or your body – or you're
right.
Not confident, or you know, translating from the minors into the majors is a lot of pressure. Some people can't hang, but there is something wrong. You don't just suck one day when you were good. And so Tommy Hansen just, it was like the experts all gave up on him, just basically stopped talking about him, kind of like Brian Mattis. You know, everybody's all pumped up, and then Brian Mattis never panned out, so nobody talks about Brian Mattis. But there was a time when we were talking about Hansen and Mattis the same way. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, all right, I got Anibal Sanchez and Buchholz on the DL. So I got it. I love this league where I could, anytime somebody goes on the DL, you could just call up the commissioner and you tell them what player you want. and then they give you that player right away. If you have a full healthy team, you can't just, like, drop somebody and then pick somebody up anytime you want. You have to wait until waivers on Sundays, right?
Yes.
So, but you're super stoked if you get an injury. Like, if you owned, you know, if you own somebody that doesn't sit around and not go on the DL forever, like Espinosa, you know, that just gets it done and goes to the DL, then you're like, haha, it's Saturday and you were going to pick up this player tomorrow, but I just got an injury, so I swooped him right off of the free agency, you know? I love it. But I had to replace two pitchers, and I decided that I was going to give Hanson a shot. He had a really good outing last time, and he said, you know, I totally fell for it. I should have never seen that game. I should have never seen it. I should have never seen when they, you know, the interview in the locker room afterwards, and he's saying, it just was super, I felt the love for him, you know, like believing in Santa Claus, that he said I had the most confidence today than I've had in a long, long time, and I just felt really good. It was confident during my warm-ups, and then it just kind of, you know, held on through the game, and it was against the Yankees. And so, of course, that's, it gives me an extra little love for the guy. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and roll with Tommy Hanson, dude, one more time, because I just don't believe that he's done. Well, he comes out, The Mariners crushed him. Maybe it was the Mariners that hit four home runs.
Maybe it was.
I was drunk when we started this conversation this morning, so I have no idea if it was the Twins or the Mariners, Rockies, the fucking Mets. I have no clue, dude. But I do know that I owned Tommy Hanson last night when he got crushed by not King Felix, but by the Mariners, which is funny because it's usually King Felix that does the crushing. I was a little, skeptical of putting him up against Felix, and I thought, you know, it's not Felix that's going to hurt him. It's the hitters, and they don't hit. So, okay, he can't be that, you know, scary. He just got crushed. So, Tommy Hanson, and I'm stuck with him now, dude. Throughout, he's got another start this week, and I'm stuck with him.
And I'm looking here in what Coffee says, wait, what? When was Tommy Hanson ever good? 10 games as a rookie, he isn't good.
What does that mean?
I think what he's saying is that he's talking about Tommy Hanson.
Yeah, he never translated into the majors, but he certainly was a good prospect.
Yep. So then there's something to be said about that. Some people, you know, gosh, you know,
it
I don't know how many.
The
there's a, how many players have been in the minor leagues for 15 years? I mean, you read these stories. I mean, you read the stories about the Crash Davises of the world. That are in the and have a great minor league career and just love busting it. It's better than a real job, I guess you could say. But say what you want. I don't know whether or not he's going to be, whether or not he's going to be capable of being good. I guess that will always remain to be seen. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, please finish.
No, I'm just, I don't know much. I don't know much about Tommy Hanson, which tells me something, unfortunately in this day and age, if you're not out there every single day on Major League Baseball paths, unless you're actually rooting around in the minors and looking at players, you don't know who Tommy Hanson really is.
Well, I can give you just a little bit of insight that will help you. First of all, he's brought up through the Atlanta system, which Atlanta is just known for bringing up good pitchers. So there you go.
Absolutely.
That one. He's best friends with Matt Wieters, dude, I think. I'm pretty sure. He is good friends with Matt Wieters. And they both came up right around the same time, which I want to say was 2009, 2010. And, it gets to a point where, especially for a pitcher, they only have a small window of time to get good.
Absolutely.
As an offensive guy, there's possibility of you turning shit around when you're, in your late 20s. Like 27, you're supposed to be at your peak. I mean, that's what they say. Personally, I think that everybody's got their own different time of peakness. I mean, whatever. But, some people play better when they're older. 27 for offense. But when you're a pitcher, you come up in your 20s, your early 20s, you don't last. I mean, you don't just become a good pitcher, although there's exceptions to that rule, too. But for the most part, it just gets to a point where, like, the Brian Mattises and the Tommy Hansons of the world, their window of opportunity becomes very small.
Absolutely.
So can you hear me good? Because I can call back on the house phone now.
Well, if you can call back on the house phone, that would be good because you're a little muffed a little bit. So why don't you do that? Give us a call back. We'll wait for her. At the same time, let's do this, and when she gets in, we'll ask her about it. There was a poll taken by 150 major league players. Now, there, folks realize that there are 750 active players in Major League Baseball, okay? So that, just so that you know that, there was a poll for 150 of the players. One-fifth actually answered the poll that was given out by Athlon Sports, okay? He puts this up. And there's some questions that are asked there. So we're going to go through them and talk about them a little, really quick, and find out what you think as far as that's concerned. And who was your sports hero growing up? And 13.7 say Ken Griffey, followed by Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan, and Cal Ripken, all at 5.5. Ken Griffey got a 13.7. And then followed by those three guys. Who is the best manager in baseball? 14.3 say Joe Maddon. 10% say Terry Francona. Jim Leland got 8.8. Bruce Bochy got 8.2. And Buck Showalter, 8.2. Those are just the top. What percentage of players are using PEDs that would be performance-enhancing drugs? This is a good number because this, I believe, and I thought it might be closer to 60, but 53%. Now, 53% of the player of the one of the 150, so that means about 80 of the 150 that were polled say that. The percentage of the players are 1 to 5%. Now, I don't know. This is one of those things where 2.2% say they have no idea. 6% actually believes there's no PEDs using. 1 to 5% is, you know, at 53%. The next number where it comes out, it says that 31 to 40 believe that only 1.5% are on. One through five players think that 53% are on performance enhancing drugs. And I look at that to myself today, as I look at that number, I wonder just really quick how that works. So let's bring her back in here really quick. Andrea, I'm talking just really quick about an article that I ran across about a poll of 150 Major League Baseball players. And
I was listening to you. I was on hold, but it must not have registered. I was like, can I come on now? I have stuff to say.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Jump in there real quick.
Oh, my question, first of all, is when was this poll done?
Okay, this poll was done. It was posted on the 19th of June, and I saw this and I saved this for the show. It was from Athlon Sports.
And what exactly is the question? How is the question phrased about steroids?
What percent of the players are using PEDs? Okay.
Okay, and this is 150 Major League Baseball players that they
That is correct.
But did they ask them if they were using, like, did they say, are you using it, and it's completely anonymous?
No, what percentage of players are using PEDs?
How would they know?
Well, that's just a poll. It's just something that was
given
out.
I'm just wondering how they did the question. If it's a guess, it's fine. It's a guess, an estimate, like their opinion. That's one thing. If
yeah,
they
that's
said,
what it is. It's an opinion. It's an
like
opinion
what they
poll.
Think is the best guess that they think that people are still doing. Well, I think that anybody that's doing steroids at this point is not going to be telling Jack anybody, dude, because all the lists and everything like that, nobody's going to admit it anymore.
No. And they just asked what they thought the percentage of the players in Major League Baseball are doing PEDs. And I don't know. It just seems to me that, you know, some players, you know, more than half of that took this thing, think 53% of the players, okay, are still on PEDs. That just says that people are still finding a way of getting around it.
Right, and people are very aware that it's going on. And so
absolutely.
Especially baseball players know that if they wanted to do it, they could get away with it. That's what that says.
Yes, because they know how to get around it. And until the chemists from the Major League Baseball get better than the ones that are out there
never
going
will be.
Rogue. It'll always be that way, and that's the way
never
it
will be.
Yeah, so
they will always be one step behind the drug guy. Always. Just like the cops are always one step behind the drug guy. There's no possible way, so just give it up. I mean, who gives a shit? Nobody wants to watch a fucking boring game, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, you're telling me 50% of these baseball players are on roids, but nobody can fucking steal a base, nobody can hit a home run, and no pitcher can go into the fifth inning. So maybe we need to, upgrade our dope.
Well, I want to tell you right now, you marked up on something that I found very interesting. They're not stealing bases anymore. It's a lost freaking art. I think we may have talked about it, but it really infuriates me that Major League Baseball and the managers of Major League Baseball do not get just the basic concept of stealing bases, getting players in position to score. When you got a guy on first base, his chances of getting to second base on a stolen base have got to be 75%. Why they are not taking advantage of that, I don't know. Because
I'll tell you
I
why.
Know there's some good catchers.
It's an easy answer
league,
for it.
But there are a lot that are not as good as some of the best in there. So you've got to run. You've got to get players. You got to – they call them manufacturing runs. That's how you do it. It starts with the stolen base. Makes me sick.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's the thing, though. There's a very simple reason for this. And, I mean, if you're Billy Bean, dude, you manufacture runs. I think he's the one that coined the phrase. I mean, you do because you don't have home run hitters, and you have to find a way. And that's some good shit right there. That's what we like to see, right, as a fan?
Yep.
When you were looking at the Angels and you're like, what the hell, Mike Trout? What up, Peter Burgos? You guys aren't even, trying to steal bases. I knew, these guys are capable of stealing. Here's the management telling them, don't steal because we got, three, four power hitters in a row and they're going to get you home. We don't want to take the risk of hurting you. That's why they don't ever go in deep in games anymore. They don't pitch, consecutive games as closer. They don't do shit because they're afraid of getting hurt because why bother when we have Albert Pujols and, half the freaking powerhouses of the, of MLB? Why bother risking that?
I agree. And that's one of those things. I mean, if you think about it, when Coffee made a good point in the chat room, no one can bunt anymore. I mean, it's a lost art. When you take the fundamentals of a baseball game and they become lost arts, that tells you something about the game and where it's going. If the fundamentals of stealing the base and bunting the ball are not taken very seriously, how can anybody, and I just put it out there, how can anybody look at the game and go, well, it's all, we got to generate the fans. We got to keep the fans interested. Well, if you play the game like it's intended to, you'll get those fans. And not only that, you'll win back the guys such as myself who are, guys that look at the game and look at the fundamentals and see the goodness in fundamentals than someone just hitting a home run. It just makes
you know what's funny about the bunt, dude? Okay, first of all, when I was playing softball, so it may not be the same, but it's the same concept when you bunt. The whole point of bunting is to get a runner to advance, right?
Absolutely.
So even
that's
though you're most likely going to sacrifice, but it usually happens when whatever. So we all know when you used to bunt. Now you bunt because you're a pitcher in the National League and you walk up there and you show the bunt, right off the bat. Everybody knows you're bunting. And I'm like, why don't one of these batters, just show that bunt, everybody's all moved in, the freaking third baseman could, kiss him, he's so close, and just, take the bat back and just swing the shit out of it, because he's going to pitch you a ball right over the plate. Just as soon as he releases it, just pull it back and knock it out of over the infielder's head at least, okay? So that's feasible. But they don't ever do it because the management tells them not to to risk getting hurt, you know? And it's like, what's the point of a pitcher hitting if they just go up there and just basically just don't?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't teach all around, I think it really takes away from the game, especially now. When you got the problems that Major League Baseball does, you know, have you ever heard of resetting your plan? That's what Major League Baseball needs to do. They need to reset the plan. That means getting back to the basics of baseball and bring back and get it back to the tradition that baseball is, and then go from there. And it's like just resetting it's like those old Atari games when you played really bad and you say, forget it, I'm just going to hit the reset button. That's
I don't know what you're talking about, though, because, I mean, I like your idea, I guess, but I don't really understand what the – everybody always says, you know, baseball isn't like what it used to be, but I swear, man, if you really
I'm talking about getting back to the basics, and that's like, what I'm talking about, the stolen bases and getting the pitchers to pitch more than five innings because they're a bunch of wussies. I'm talking about just getting it to the days when baseball was probably, you know, I don't look at Major League Baseball as being at the height of popularity that it has been. The only reason why people think that is because people are still buying tickets. But those are only a few and far between in reality. You can't take the National Football League, and you can gauge how popular it is by ticket sales. You can't do that in Major League Baseball. And I think that's because there's 168 games compared to the 17. And that's
a lot to do with it, yeah.
With it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's
so
a lot to do with it. And the fact that it's so expensive to go to a baseball game is fucking ridiculous.
Exactly.
And, I mean,
how much did it cost for you guys to walk into the Nationals stadium to go and get a halfway decent seat at the Nationals game when you went?
I always have to make sure that I'm sitting on the aisle. I don't give a shit if I'm sitting in the freaking beer garden next door to the ballpark, dude. I need to be sitting on an aisle because I like to go places and come back, and I don't want to be bothered by anybody, okay, or bother
right.
anybody. So I get, but like, for instance, Pittsburgh, we got like right behind home plate, right on the aisles, like seven or eight rows up. It was like $40 a ticket. They vary a lot, you know. But the biggest hurt, dude, is like eating at the ballpark because you always want to have something, and it's like a fucking steak dinner, dude. That's the cost of it. But you know, I had you're never gonna believe this, okay? I shouldn't even be telling this story, but I didn't tell you what I ate at Cincinnati, did I?
No. What did you eat in Cincinnati?
I don't know what. I was so hungry that day. I was just feeling hunger, you know. We had to check out of our hotel room at like 11, and the game didn't start till 7, so we went to lunch. We had sushi, two things of sushi, calamari, and I was drinking martinis. Maybe that has something to do with my
a lot. That had a lot to do with it.
And of course, the server tells us about this big in Cincinnati, the biggest food thing there is, chili. They have a big rivalry in Cincinnati with these two chili companies. And he said they pretty much taste the same, but you'll never have chili like the chili in Cincinnati. I'm not saying it's the best chili or the worst chili. It's just a different kind of chili. You're either going to like it or you're not. So we get to the game. This is after two sushis and calamari and a few martinis. I get a margarita and a hamburger. There's like this Bob's Big Boy or something, Fritz, I don't know, hamburger. I ate that, and then I went and got chili dogs. I ate two chili dogs, dude. I ate a bag of peanuts, and then we got in the car and drove to Washington, and I just groaned the whole way. I was so miserable. But eating that much food, I mean, that costs more than the ticket. I bet you anything.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's where it gets the families. And, you know, you want to buy a shirt for your kid. We already talked about the price of clothing there. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's like $70 for a hoodie.
Yep.
$70 for a gray hoodie that you could buy, you know, at Walmart for $12.99. It's really bad.
Yep.
So that's where it gets you. And there, it's amazing because any business, dude, has to roll, like, they have to grow with the times. I mean, you have to provide the services and the things that people are looking for, and if you don't, you go out of business, you know, like Borders Books or whatever. You need to, if you don't want to sell online, dude, you got to figure out a way to do something online, because you're not going to be the biggest bookseller when Amazon comes around and everybody can buy books from their home, you know, get it in 2 days, whatever. It's
absolutely
just, to pay attention, and the ballparks are always empty. I mean, not empty, but they're not ever full like they used to be.
Well, and that's another thing I don't understand. I mean, you put you get your stands, you know, usually the the shitty seats with nobody in them. And I don't understand, when you consistently see that, how come you don't put those tickets up 2-for-1 out there and get people to the ballpark?
How come you don't donate them, dude? The families that don't have the opportunity or, you know, the means to be able to go do that with the, whatever, man. Give it to some soldiers that just got back and don't have the money to take their family to a game. They deserve to go to. Why aren't you giving tickets away? Why aren't you filling the seats? Not only is it good for you watch on TV and you look right behind home plate and there's nobody sitting in the $1,000 seats. I mean, it's like,
right,
what a waste, you know? Somebody could have really enjoyed the game from there. But you see it a lot, and you're right. But going back to what we were speaking about, there's a couple. I made a trade in my one of my leagues. I was offered I took over this dynasty league that this guy's name, he named the team, okay, negative VORPers, negative VORPers. VORP is a sabermetric formula for value, like added replacement player or something. Like, if you just, how many more runs is this person going to give you throughout the season than the average guy that you would just be able to go pick up off the waiver? So the statistic, okay, but this guy's got his name negative VORP. I think that he got pissed off or they kicked him out or something, but you look at the team and it is the worst team I've ever seen. I'm like, okay, and I just left the name the way it is because I can't start, like, until July, you can't do trade dumps. I mean, I have to prepare for next year at this point, you know, and for the future, so I'm ready to, like, trade some stuff for some rookies to build my team up, but you can't do it till July, so I just left the team name the same. I'm like, this is a fucked up team. It's going to have a fucked up name, you know? But this guy offered me, like, all kinds of people are offering me trades, you know, and I don't think they know who they're dealing with. They see a chick and they're like, oh, I'm gonna offer her Jason Marquis for Rex Brothers, and I'm like, yeah, hello, okay. He's not a closer yet, so I understand why you could think that you're going to try to sneak that one by, but next year he's probably going to be a closer. So this guy offered me Justin Upton, though, and I was like, okay, Justin Upton for Michael Kadire and J.J. Putz. First of all, I have no love for J.J. Putz. I have no faith for J.J. This J.J. Putz, to me, if he was offered to me
he's
in a trade, he would be like one of those throw-in players that people just put up there just to make the trade look even, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll just add a guy just to make it look fair. That's what J.J. Putz is to me, okay? And he may have a closing role right now, but this is, like, day by day. That's why I was like, okay, I got to take this trade quick if I'm going to do it. And Michael Kadire is having the season of his life. You know, I like Michael Kadire for several reasons, and his player eligibility is good because he plays outfield and first base, so you got that going.
Right.
And he hits for power, but he's never really – I mean, his average isn't going to kill you, but it's not going to – it's not 300, it's 270. Right now, his batting average for the season right now is 340. And if you compare his numbers to Justin Upton's numbers, you know, you're looking at about the same guy, except for the fact that Michael Kadire's crushing him in batting average, and he's got 16 home runs so far this season. So he's on pace for a high, dude, you know, of his life. And I'm thinking, I'm totally going to – basically, what I did to justify it in my head was that J.J. Putz is a throwaway player, which I have plenty of those to get rid of. Add another one if you want, right? And so basically trading Kadire away for Upton, and I thought, you can't lose, dude, with that.
Okay.
Unless you're not
did you take the trade, or?
Yeah, dude, I hopped on it, like, freaking as quick as I could.
So what are you going to do with J.J. Putz?
I gave him away, dude. He was part of the trade. This guy wanted J.J. Putz. Fucking take J.J.
Putz. That's right. You only got up there. You only got up there. But still, that's
right.
That's,
I love I'll take the one side of the deal 99% of the time, dude. If you're going to make an uneven trade with me, like as far as the number of players, I will always go for the smaller amount of players because I don't need a bunch of fill-ins. You know, I don't need a bunch of static on my team.
Absolutely.
So that was interesting. I thought that was one of the better trades that I've been offered in this year. And, I mean, I don't know. What else have you been watching baseball? You know, you football people are always – sometimes I think you just kind of are happy when I don't come to the show because you could talk football the whole day. And you're like, God damn, baseball? Fucking baseball again?
No, I've been keeping track of baseball because I know I come here, you know. So I keep track of baseball and what's going on in baseball. And I've just found some interesting things as I was looking around. And one thing I'll ask you about him since Coffee is there and he loves to watch Milwaukee. Armisa Ramirez, what is it about him, that people can still like about this guy? And I read, this is what I read, this guy is hot against the Cardinals. What is it about some players having their way with one team?
Who is this that you're talking of?
Milwaukee, Ramirez. Ramirez, he used to be he's a third baseman for the
Ramirez?
Yeah. However you say his first name, he used to be the Cubs' third baseman. I always thought this guy was a bum. I think he had a lot of potential, but he never ever lived up to the potential, except for maybe 1 or 2 years. But after that, this guy Alex, forget it.
Aramis.
Yeah, Aramis. Whatever you say. I think this guy has always had the potential to be a great player, but has never taken that step. But he has his way with the Cardinals. He hits his way out of the Cardinals all the time. But what is it about certain players that just find a stroke against one certain team? And there are a lot of players that are like that in Major League Baseball.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the mental aspect of it. I mean, it's like you go into a place and you know you're good there.
Right.
There's a good example of the dude that just retired in Atlanta that played third base with a funky name. He was a
Schiffer.
Met killer. Every time he would come to the Mets, he would crush the Mets dude at City Field. And what's his
Schiffer
name?
Jones?
That guy that just retired and everybody gave him gifts in every park all across the country.
Schiffer Jones, right?
Schiffer. Yeah, he would just come into – every time he would come to New York, he would just crush the Mets. And the Mets just knew when Schiffer came there that he was going to crush him. But I think a lot of it has to just do with the fact that you know that you're going to hit well when you go there, and so you do. There's just absolutely no lack of confidence. There's another reason, though, for Aramis Ramirez. One of the best things about this guy is that he has a consistent batting average, dude, that's close to 300 every year. And he may not hit a ton of home runs, but he always gets a shitload of RBIs. And, well, he does get RBIs. I don't know about a shitload, but he gets close to 100 every year, even though he's not hitting a ton of power and he's not stealing a ton of bases. He's getting RBIs because of the place that he's in the lineup with, Ryan Braun around you, and you had Prince Fielder there, too. So, I mean, he's always been in just a good spot. But I didn't really know anything about him hitting well against the Cardinals. That's interesting because that would be a good guy to play in the daily league if he does play the Cardinals. But
right.
You usually hear of players that are, like, super good against a certain pitcher,
right,
no matter which park they're in. But as far as the baseball park goes, is it when he goes to St. Louis or just whenever he plays St. Louis?
Just whenever he plays St. Louis, he has a great game. That's just and I saw that. And during the week, when we're able, I'll grab an article that I find very interesting, and I'll bring it up the next week. And that was one that I saw very interesting this week about how well that he's doing it. And another article I found, and not that I definitely didn't know about it, but Cliff Lee, this guy is really putting himself. I mean, right now I think Cliff Lee could be the kind of leader right now for the Cy Young for this season. Even though
you read the wrong article, dude. You need to put that down, and you need to go right over to the Nationals website, and you need to read about my boy with the two N's. Okay, there's no way, dude. You can't bring up Cliff Lee right now when Jordan Zimmermann pitches another huge game last night. 8 innings pitched, no one runs. This guy struck out 9 batters, dude. Okay.
How do you say that?
You can't compare him?
No, you have to compare him. I mean,
to Clayton Kershaw, but not Cliff Lee.
But the difference between those players, you can say what you want. Okay, I know
uh-huh.
you would rather have your boy from the Nationals, but
right.
if anybody had one of these three pitchers on their fantasy league, they're not upset.
Oh, absolutely not. And it is interesting. We, even there was some other pitchers in the National League that were just, you know, may not be pitching as well right now. I mean, I feel kind of bad because you look at Cliff Lee and then you look at Cole Hamels, which is his counterpart over there in Philly,
yeah,
and he is getting no runs. I mean, Cole Hamels is having a shit year. If you own Cole Hamels, you're so pissed off. I mean, you're pretty much like...
You should be.
and you know, between if and I'm not saying that people drafted Halladay huge or anything, but you look at the Phillies and how they manipulated their pitching rotation, and they basically decided that they were going to forget about their offense getting old. They were just going to go for pitching. They invested a lot of money in those three pitchers, and Cole Hamels has the talent. As far as I'm concerned, Cole Hamels is as good, if not better, of a pitcher than Cliff Lee. It's just, it's like I said earlier, dude, sometimes it's the luck of the draw. Cole Hamels has not pitched that bad. He's just got shit for run support, and so he's like 1-10, and Cliff Lee's like winning the only every game the Phillies won this year. Cliff Lee's been his, you know, pitching for him. I mean, either way.
Well, exactly, and he did it to the Nationals the other night. That's what I found so interesting about the article. Okay, granted, I mean, because I knew you would be up on the show. I mean, he just went and he just blew through the Nationals lineup. So you say, you know. You know, there are a lot of players right now. Adam Wainwright, 10-3, pitching great. Matt Harvey is 6-1. This guy's picking up the pace.
Look at Lance Lynn, dude. He's 10-1.
Exactly. But I mean, right now, I think, you know, there's about 7 or 8 pitchers right now that are on pace to put them in the talks. I'm not saying that they'll win, but in the talks for a Cy Young candidate going into, you know, this portion of the season right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I don't usually – I'm not a believer in thinking that wins have anything to do with whether or not you deserve to get a Cy Young. I think that – you know, that year that Felix got it, King Felix, he deserved every bit of it, if not more deserving than the guy that was on a team that had a bunch of wins, because he still maintained his composure out there, and he went out every day, and he's, you know, with a club behind him that wasn't going to score any runs every day, he went out there
yes.
and struck batters out and pitched, you know, and maintained that good of an ERA. He gets a little extra credit in my world. So wins, you know, aren't really a candidate for me in deciding that. But when you have a National League like this year, like you do with Clayton Kershaw, and you have Cliff Lee, and you have all these pitchers that you would
Patrick
really...
Patrick Corbin. I mean, Patrick Corbin's ripping the meat from the bone.
So, but what it's going to... The win total is going to come into play because everybody can't be nominated. And when you're on a shitty team, dude, you just lose glamour. I
agree.
It's going to matter what Dodgers do. It's going to matter what the National...
Yeah, I can use that in a football term. Right now, I think the defensive player in the IFL, that'd be the Indoor Football League, plays for a team that won four football games this year. So I get what you're saying, because no one's going to be looking at that guy as far as the defensive player of the year. And, you know, Adam Wainwright, I mean, 10-3, I mean, that's right now. If you're going to do that, you got to look at Adam Wainwright. He's 10-3 with a 2.37 ERA. I mean, you know,
now,
Zimmerman is right there at 9-3 with the 2.44 ERA. Good numbers and out of a lot of players, but I look at the players who are sitting in and thinking about the Cy Young and some of the players. I mean, no one expected. I think Matt Harvey is a guy. He's up there. He's doing well. Patrick Corbin.
Okay,
is
you know what happened last time we freaking
there.
Nominated a Mets pitcher for the Cy Young? You couldn't have forgot. It was only just last year.
When you nominate a Mets player, that's one of those classic
where the team is so bad it makes you look.
Well, yeah. By the time the end of the year is going to roll around, you're going to go, God.
It makes him look good on being
if
you're on out of a team. You're okay. You might get nominated because your team makes you look that much better.
Yes, exactly. And the classic example, that's Swearingen from the IFL. I mean, if it wasn't for him, the defense would be worse and they might not have won a game. So, you know, so that those are just some of the things. And I saw that and I knew you would have a problem. But as far as right now, there are some great players right now that can be considered. I think I agree with you. Although I think him and Adam Wainwright are right together?
Anybody that came into this year, and I'm sorry, but I have to say, you know, again, I told you so. Not you, but I told you so about Adam Wainwright. I mean, you forget about him, how easily you forget about him when you guys are out trying to draft CC Sabathia because he's your favorite whatever Yankee. And here's the thing. I mean, you got a guy that went out for Tommy John surgery, and it's not that he just went out for Tommy John and you weren't sure, because sometimes every once in a while it doesn't turn out the way you wanted it to, or at least not as soon as you wanted it to. Eventually, it usually does. I mean, the chances are good, but it's just about, like, how long is it going to take them to get into that form of, like, dude, I mean, if you want to talk about performance-enhancing something, Tommy John surgery is the best performance-enhancing shit I've ever seen. Dude, it's
absolutely
almost, like, guaranteed to work, dude. It's guaranteed to give you, takes all the wear, and it's like turning back your engine, basically, you know, and that's not even legal. So, you know, you want to talk some shit about performance-enhancing, I think that, you know, whatever, but I love it. So, Adam Wainwright.
Now, how about this? Look at Adam Wainwright last year. This guy was a monster last year, too. And he was just coming off the Tommy John. And it's always the second year that they just go freaking
nuts. That's how you knew. That's how you knew he was going to be so good. Because he came back, and he wasn't.
If they didn't think of Adam Wainwright as being probably the number, I said it on this show, I thought Adam Wainwright was going to be one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball this year because of the second year coming off. The guy is 10-4 right now, and frankly, he should be 12-2 because two of those games he got no run support whatsoever in those games. So when you look at that situation, this guy has been monster this year.
I mean, this is a guy that had 20 wins right before he went to Tommy John. This is, you know, this to me, it's like, hello, the writing is on the wall here.
He's going to get 20 wins this year as well. He's 10-4, and we haven't even, you know, when's the All-Star break? Month?
Oh, the All-Star break is right here.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in a month.
I'm not sure.
July 15th, I think, or something around there.
He's going to get two more starts as well, getting up before that. He's going to get two more starts, and the guy could be 12-4 by the time we get to the All-Star game. And the guy's going to be an easy 20-game winner this year. But say what you want, he usually does get run support. He's playing for the Cardinals. He's going to always get that run support. That's one thing, the difference between the Phillies and the Cardinals, that the difference is that, the Phillies went all pitching and decided to let everybody get old. The Cardinals didn't do that. The Cardinals got one of the better, you know, minor league systems going up and bringing in players, that, you know, as far as that is concerned, and keeping their team young and fresh and keeping bats in the lineup as well as getting good pitching. So they've done good.
Yeah, they have done good, and they've actually had a lot of good just the dice have fallen the right way for them in a lot of ways. I mean, they had a lot of injuries to worry about with Jaime Garcia. I know he's hurt again, but he – you know, he came back, and they were concerned about whether or not he was even going to be able to be in the rotation. They lost Chris Carpenter, who was just an innings eater, veteran, you know.
Yes.
The Cardinals just, I mean, talk about a good management system, because, you know, there's not – sometimes it's like, how much credit can you give a manager? The other day on the New York Weiner Radio, they were talking about Girardi, dude, and all the credit that Girardi should get because of his team doing so well. And, you know, it's like, bitch, dude, he's stuck with the players that he's given. They hand him a freaking roster with some names on it and tell him to put it in order. That's his job. Okay, other than that, dude, the Yankees are on a team that, you know, have to get a lot of you know, they're not in the locker room having the freaking motivation talk, you know, the worst shit team in the league gets. It's like, Girardi's good, and I respect him a lot as a manager. I think that he's, dude, to be a manager in New York and to put up with just the media alone, okay, is a nightmare. And he's always maintained. He's had he's a good manager, but, I told Lenny, you know, good, let him take some credit, because, you know, when the shit hits the fan, the manager always has to take the brunt, you know, the brunt of it. So give him some credit while he deserves it. But we all know it's the players that have to be responsible for the way that they play. And if you don't play well, you know, you can't blame the manager, but you do. So when they do play well, you hear him talking about Girardi and what a savior he is, because Lyle Overay is fucking out in the outfield pitching his ass, or, you know, catching balls half the time at least, and they're hitting. But Lyle Overbay, by the way, is not – he's Danny Espinosa now, by the way. He's He's under the Mendoza line by far. There's so many bad batting averages. Okay, we've been talking about this a lot this season. Every year you play fantasy, you have to change with the trends, just like we talked about earlier. You can't get stuck in a way where you say, you know, one category matters, throwing saves away. I always tuck saves because they don't matter to me. I never, you know, Lenny has a motto. He never pays for a starter. I think it's bullshit, or a closer. I'm sorry. But I just think that you need to, every single year, as the things change, the stats change, the players change, the player pool changes, and the trends change. As far as, you know, where's your best option, you know, where's your best opportunity to get an edge? Where's your best,
right.
Where do you target? Well, people tend to forget about those averages, WHIP, ERA, and stuff because, you know, the WHIP and the ERA, and it's all so volatile, it's just so close. The batting average, though, is not really the same. There's very few batters. I mean, the two articles that, I think two of my favorite articles that I've even read is that one about the stolen bases and the other one about the averages, and Colette wrote both of those articles, and they're so informative. The average batting average is down like 20 points, and that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking batting average, that's from a 290 to a 270, and that's the average player. So if you can find, you know, if you are in a spot where you're looking at your team and you're like, shit, you don't tend to look at batting average. But it's like, get rid of the fucking DJ Upton, you know? Get rid of Adam Dunn. Get rid of these guys like this that are killing your batting average that are actually worth something because they're hitting for power. There's a lot of players out that either steal bases or hit for power that are tradable and totally tradable because their name is more valuable to fantasy owners than their batting average. You know, they want
Absolutely.
Home runs or whatever. If you're going to, you have to, you can't go say, I'm going to go pick up a Marco Scudero or I'm going to go pick up a guy that's got, you know, a hella good batting average and that's going to save my team. Because you also, at the same time, in order for it to work, you have to get rid of bad batting average. So I came up with, I'm thinking this theory, when you're out looking for a guy that, you know, and there's a lot of them that aren't that famous players, you know, and they're kind of like just in the mix that are just hitting 300. I don't know why Adam Lind came to my mind, only because I've been waiting all week to talk to you about it.
Adam
but,
Lind always comes to your mind when you're
and he will not be hitting no batting average, okay, for the rest of the season. That bitch is just getting hella lucky or something. There's no Adam Lind in that man out there. Adam Lind's gone. He was abducted, but this new Adam Lind is taking over the world. The guy's hitting 300. He had the best batting average in baseball in the last 30 days. I heard this two nights ago. So at that point, it was in the last 30 days, who's had the best batting average that's had over 100 at-bats? And it's freaking Adam Lind.
Yep. Yep. I know. He's not. I hate that guy. Oh.
If you need some stolen bases, I mean, there's Eric Young Jr., and this guy, I went out and picked him up on my National League only team. He was playing for Colorado for a long time, and they never would let him have a time to play, but every time he got an opportunity to fill in or get a couple at-bats, he always steals a base. It's like when Tony Campana gets a chance to bat, you know that fool's going to steal a base or two.
Mm-hmm.
The guy
yep.
has a freaking 180 at-bats in the season, and he's got like 35 stolen bases. You know, it's like, that's Eric Young, and he never had a spot to play. And now, since Everett Cabrera's, I think it's Everett Cabrera, that I could be drunk today, so whoever it is that he's filling in for, he's going to steal bases. So, if you know, that's one thing, too, that's very shallow is the stolen bases, and he will steal you some bases. But watch out for your batting average with him a little, too.
You bet. Hey, there have been some players that have started off 2013 great, right? I mean, look at Marco Scudero. I mean, that one of our favorite players in reality.
That's normal
He's
for
had,
him.
Yeah, that's normal. But some other names that have been popping up, and I was wondering what you thought about them going into the second half. Will they keep it up? And so I thought I'd bring these names because I noticed this when I was kind of prepping for the show, which I
mm-hmm.
don't do. James Looney, first baseman, Tampa Bay Rays. The guy right now, I think he's hitting about 300, eight home runs, you know, his career high is 15. James Looney, what do you think about him at first base for Tampa?
James Loney. Okay, the thing about this guy is, no, he's never hit for a ton of power, and that's why he's always been overlooked at first base, because there's
right.
so much power at first base that as a fantasy owner, you're like, dude, James Loney, you know, he's kind of one of those guys you joke about that if you forgot to get a first baseman, you can always get James Loney, you know,
yes.
and James Loney,
like
in a way, reminds me of Mitch Moreland, I guess, I want to say, and
yeah.
I mean, he's got a really super batting average, so, and it's like a set it and forget it, yeah, you're not super excited when you draft James Loney, but you know he's going to be out there 500 at bats, dude, every single year. He's going to get a decent batting average. Every once in a while, he'll come off and hit a home run, not that often. I mean, but, and his numbers don't even really look that, I guess they don't look that skewed, because if you look at them on paper, they look similar to last year. But, yeah,
right.
I mean, it's not even halfway through the season. Let me look at his age real quick before I speak out of turn, because I told you I'm kind of drunk today. But and he's 29, so it's not that he's going to get, you know, a ton better. But
right.
I don't think – I think he's fine. I think he's going to be just mediocre just for the rest of the way. He's going to be set it, forget it, dude. Leave him there, and he'll not ruin you.
Josh Donaldson, third baseman of the Oakland A's. I know you know about this
guy.
Oh,
of course.
10 homers,
I own this fool,
RBI,
and this is why I know this guy, okay?
It.
I have had every freaking trade offer under the sun for Josh Donaldson. And it's
yep.
like, hell no, dude. I'm the one that drafted his ass, dude. I'm keeping him. I don't even remember why I drafted him. He's – look, man, I don't know what's going on with Josh Donaldson, and I honestly – I have no insight as far as what he's going to do for the rest of the season, except for that I would assume that he's not going to continue to do this. And I guess that would be obvious. You know, you just – you don't bat over 300 when your batting average delves into the 100s at times, you know. It's not
right.
like he's young. I think he's I don't know if he's been down in the minor leagues for a lot of time or if he spent most of the time with the Oakland, but nobody paid attention to him because he just wasn't that good.
Yep.
The last couple of years, like he, but you know, this isn't a guy that's coming up and growing into his power or his speed or anything. I mean, he's 27, so
right.
it is what it is. I'm super happy that I own him, but I don't think I could get – I mean, people are trying to offer me shit that, you know, more of a namesake, and I'm just not really – I'm cool with what he's doing right now. You know, he – for what you got him for, dude, you're going to be the winner. So I say don't ruin that now and throw away the win, because you're a winner no matter what. You probably paid a buck for him, or he
yep.
was a leftover, you know?
Yep. And how about his teammate – starting pitcher Bartolo Colon. I mean, I saw
what?
This guy, well, 14 starts, ERA 289, WHIP is 1.10.
Fucking Bartolo
okay.
Colon.
He's 9-2. I mean, this is now this is my question
okay.
mark. I mean, the names that we mentioned, this is my question mark. Do we expect this guy to fall flat on his face? I do. So
dude, he's probably going to die on the mound. Do you know how old he is?
Yes. He's, I think he's like 32,
roids,
right?
So it's proven. He's on roids. He's going to have a heart attack. He's, do you, oh God, this just cracks me up so bad, dude. This is so funny, this Bartolo Colon, because I just thought, the name, dude, when I said Colon, Bartolo Colon, it
mm-hmm.
reminds me of Ozzie Guillen, dude. Do you remember when Ozzie Guillen couldn't find Bartolo Colon, dude?
No, yeah, I remember
when
that.
Colon disappeared?
Yep, yep. I remember
and
that. And they were looking for him. They were worried
Ozzie
about
Ozzie Guillen was like, oh, God. Okay, on Monday, dude, I will have the clip of this, and it is the freaking most hilarious because, you know, they have the same accent. So it's like when he says his name, it's like, Colon, Colon, you know, and he's calling Mexico for Colon. Colon, you know, he's supposed to be here. We pay him to be here. You know, it's like fucking Bartolo Colon just disappeared. That was like so long ago, too. I mean, I don't even know why I brought it up. But I'll tell you right now, it's better than anything else I could bring up about him. He is such a fool. I don't even know. I can't. He just makes me cringe like Zambrano, dude. And kind of like Johnny Cueto, dude. I don't like him either, but I definitely don't hate him as much as Colon, and I definitely don't, or Zambrano. I'm not a fan of him either, but really, Colon? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think of Bartolo Colon of what he is, and he's kind of a streaky pitcher, and right now he's kind of doing that. That's what he, you know, but, you know, you can look at the numbers, but here's the number that I found that was really interesting. Batters are batting .262 against him, and when
uh-huh.
this fool starts to cool off like he is, That number is going to be around 300. I don't trust Bartolo Colon for the rest of the season as much as I look at it. So Johnny Petrella, I can't say this guy's name. Help me with his name.
Pastor Nicky.
Shortstop out of Detroit. Huh?
Is his name Pastor Nicky?
No, the shortstop for Detroit, Johnny Peralta.
Oh, Johnny Peralta. Yeah, I own him on a team, too. And, you know, he's a set it and a forget it as well. You don't get a shitload out of him, but you definitely get – he bats all the time. He's always batting.
Yep.
I think he is doing better this year right now. He's on a kind of a good streak. I wouldn't expect
– and he's a career 269 hitter. So that's one of those things that I look at in last year, 239. I mean, so you look at what he's
doing
right now.
You can package him up and sell his ass, dude. That's what you do.
That's what I was thinking when I was looking at this guy. I mean, he's due to fall on his face. So, you know,
he'll fall. When he falls, he's not going to fall like all the way. I mean, he's still going to be totally feasible at his position. I mean, when you got the position that he plays, too, is super. It's not that easy to find a replacement for him. I don't really expect him to hit 300. I just expect him to be there, and that's what he does, just like James Loney. So, I would trade him just like I'd trade James Loney if somebody was going to fall for that. I would probably trade Donaldson, too, if I got a decent offer. But, you know, these guys, no, they're not going to continue this.
Right.
I love Mark Trumbo. That's a guy right there, Mark Trumbo, that I think is a total for real. Seal the deal.
Right.
Real.
I like Trumbo. I like what he brings to the page every time he's out there. I don't think you can argue with what he brings to his team and what he does for his team as well.
Well, you know, people just nobody really gave him any love because you got Mike Trout, you got Pujols, you got the free $600 million over there.
He's on a team with other big names, and he's not going to get. You know what I mean, Josh Hamilton. Oh my God! But
well, he's
the
one that you're ready to fire. One thing before we go to the
hold on, before we get to him, I want to find out one more because I actually took time, so I wanted to grab Chris Davis,
okay.
First baseman, Baltimore. Guy's batting .337, 24 home runs. You know, expect him to go one more time? Yeah, for the rest of the season.
I'm thinking, man, I'm going to fucking go to Vegas, dude, and I'm ready to bank on Chris Davis hitting 50 home runs.
Wow, this guy has been nuts. I mean, he's been...
I love it, dude.
I mean,
I love it.
No
I think
one expected this
guy. This is for real. I think it's for real. It's been building up for a long time. Lenny was telling me today that Chris Davis reminded him of Big Poppy. That, you know, because when Big Poppy came up with Minnesota, he actually wasn't what... was expected of him for a while. He actually had to go down to the minor leagues and for a second and then just came up and did that. Chris Davis is – I love it, dude. I think that the reason I love it the most is because I kind of took a chance on him and his power. And I going into the season, remember he had hit, like, home runs in however many consecutive games, like, going in back into last season. And I just love the way he started the year. I could really foresee this guy having a, you know, Jose Bautista year.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But the only thing, I looked at these numbers, okay, on him, and I saw 75 strikeouts and 255 at-bats. That means he's striking out, you know, every 3.4 times he's up. That, I mean, as far as that number, I hate that number, and that's what makes me worry a little bit about Chris Davis as he moves forward. Could you imagine him striking out 150 times this year? I mean, that would be ridiculous.
Even care
still being
because
able
when
to
you
maintain
hit,
that batting average.
When you hit for that much power, you don't even need to look at the strikeouts. Does he? And he probably doesn't ever walk either. The only thing I can say about it is that when a guy can hit for that much power, that it can kind of like totally limit the importance of striking out that much. And that just, I mean, basically you're saying you're watching a guy that has no plate, either he has no plate discipline or he just swings at everything. Like, I mean, Adam Jones does too. He'll walk up there and just start swinging. And what was it? It's Yusiel Puig. We were talking about Puig and the fact that he always swings at the first pitch or one way or another. I'm pretty sure he does. But the pitch, I don't know. I mean, I just think that if you always do one way, that it's obviously going to – you're going to get figured out, especially if you're super good because everybody's watching you. But
yep.
with Chris Davis, I don't give a shit if he strikes out because as long as he's hitting home runs the rest of the time, I'm cool. I mean, I don't
yep.
– I own him only on one team, and I didn't – I wasn't expecting this. I'm rooting for him, though. I hope that he does hit 50 home runs.
Patrick Corbin, 10-0 right now. I mean, and that was another guy. I mean, he looking good. And we kind of briefly talked about him just for a moment. What do you think? I mean, he's playing. He's getting run support all over the place playing for Detroit. So he's going to get that run support. He's got his 10th win on Monday. He's due to. I think he's due to pitch either today or tomorrow. Patrick Corbin, you know.
The Patrick Corbins of the world, you know, and the Matt Harveys of the world, I just don't have enough to – I don't – I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and even say that Patrick Corbin will or won't end up being freaking, you know, Roy Halladay. But I got to say, I mean, I'm happy that he's doing that. I just – no, I don't bank on that lasting for the rest of the season. I don't think that he – personally, I just don't – when I watch him pitch, I don't get that feeling like I – when I see – a guy like Gio or, I don't know, Jordan Zimmermann,
right.
Jaime Garcia, Anibal Sanchez is another good one. I just, you see them and there's something about them you just really like. And, I mean, if I was a scout, I could explain it better. But Pat Corbin, he'll be okay. I don't.
Matt Scherzer,
don't expect-
what about him? I mean, and I mix him up. Corbin pitched for Arizona, but Matt Scherzer for Detroit with the run support. I mean, I think,
Smiley maybe is who you're talking
about. I think he's got the potential to keep going more so than Corbin.
Are you speaking of Drew Smiley?
No, Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer, he's been around. You know, he's okay. He gets hurt a lot, I think. I don't own him, and I haven't owned him.
He's got run support all over in Detroit. I mean, when you got that kind of run support that you're going to be getting with Detroit, I mean, I think that's something that when you're looking at this guy and whether or not you think that he's going to, you know, continue doing what he's going to be doing, and that's the reason why I was looking at that. And
well, I guess I base it on based on, you know, what people will pay for Max Scherzer because he's kind of popular. And he goes early in drafts, and he gets – people pay a good chunk of money for this guy. So it's kind of one of those things where you either really like him or you just don't bother because he's too expensive for what you're going to pay for him. I think he's kind of volatile. I wouldn't spend the amount of money on Max Scherzer that he goes for, but yeah, he's a good pitcher. I did.
Well, he gets
a
run
there's one here.
Look what they're doing. They're second in the major leagues in run differential. By the way, since you brought that stat up, I look at it almost every day. Detroit.
Oh, that's so cool at that. But I gotta say, dude, I'm not pleased at Miguel Cabrera for throwing his fucking gum. And why? Nobody cares about that, dude. Nobody's paying any attention to that. That was horribly unclassy.
I know.
What,
because
it's Miguel Cabrera? He's allowed to throw his gum on people?
Yes, that's what it is. But that
you're throwing your gum on a guy that probably looks up to you, dude. Like, you know, big time.
Love it.
Probably like running past Miguel Cabrera, like, I'm too cool.
I don't think he worries about that, though. Come on. I mean, if you're him, are you worried about whether or not another player looks up to you? Matter of fact, you probably resent it.
Well, here's the thing. I really would think that no, but you don't. I don't know. It depends on your personality. But I think that I'm not a big fan of guys with huge egos, and I've always kind of given Miguel Cabrera a little love because of the fact that
he's been the best player in baseball, bar none, for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and he doesn't flaunt. He's not A-Rod. He's not, you know, being a dick to anybody. And he's not, you know, he's kind of, for what it is, I mean, he's not outwardly rude as far as I knew. But, and I know that was a joke what he did. He just didn't think about it. It was like one of those things that, you know, you want to, like, take back.
Get that moment back.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that nobody has talked about it at all.
Oh, no, we talked about it. I brought it up. Remember last time we were on?
Yeah,
here?
You're the only one. What about Roy Oswalt? Remember? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Roy Oswalt.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another Bartolo Colon. Okay, sorry, Roy Oswalt. I know you're not even close to Bartolo Colon. You're actually decent. You know, Roy Oswalt's from he's a country boy, and he's a good guy, and I think he's a grandpa. But
yeah.
Somebody was saying that they had make room for on their roster because Roy Oswalt was coming up, and I just started cracking up, dude. I'm like, you're going to give me choices now of who you got to cut to put Roy Oswalt on your freaking roster. This better be good, dude. This better be like Jose Valverde type shit, okay? Or No, Carlos Marvel, I hope you have, because I'm not dumping anybody, dude, unless they're not getting, unless they're ruining me, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. But it,
struck out 11 batters.
Now, that's where I just wanted to go, because that was part of the show I did prep for.
Oh, good. Well, that's fine.
You were going to go into something that I cut you off before you did. What was it?
I don't know that I wandered onto something else, I'm sure.
Well, I just wanted to make sure the part that I actually worked on for the show that
oh yeah, what is
discovered.
It?
I already did it. That was it. It's just some names that I saw. I mean, we're just seeing some names. Yeah, I'm just seeing some names that we're normally not used to seeing. And I, you know, as far as where they were in the, you know, as far as their batting or pitching well.
There's a ton of guys like that this year, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's what.
How about this crew of guys to pick from? So you go to the pitching, you go to pick up a pitcher off the waiver, and you're like, okay, who's going to get some starts next week or whatever? And you see the names Edison Volquez, you see Homer Bailey, you see Eric Bedard, you see Clayton Richard, you see Tommy Hansen, you see Bonderman, and you're like, kind of, you're a little tempted to get each one of those guys for one reason or another.
I think you're absolutely right. You know,
I mean, you might not be interested in getting Bonderman, but I was kind of proud of what he did for me last week.
Bonderman is one of those guys, man, you want to talk about. He can eat, if he's healthy and ready to go, that guy can eat up some innings, and he's got some good outings. You know, he's a good number three. He's a good number three, you know, headed into your season. If you want him to be a number one or number two, I think you're pushing him.
But this is a group of guys that, like, 2 years ago, you know, with Edison Volquez, you knew he was going to strike out batters. Eric Bedard struck out batters, you know.
Yep.
They're kind of, like, washed up, never made it, never panned out. Roy Oswalt's back. There's another pitcher that's back.
God,
I can't.
Roy Oswalt's back. My God, that still amazes me.
But, it's interesting because these guys can help your fantasy team if you know that they used to be a decent pitcher, that you know that you've seen their stuff. You know it's not Tommy Hansen-ish, you know, who never, ever decided to show it to us. I do. I like that. There's always players to pick up. That's a good thing about this season. It seems like there's always players to pick up.
Yep. Hey, is Alex Cobb done for the rest of the season, you think?
I would say to prepare for that because they're saying he has fluid in his ear.
Yeah.
And that would be fine if you just, I don't know, had a cold or something, but did he get hit or he has a concussion of some sort, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those things when I heard about it and when I was checking on him and according to Madden, he told the media that he's progressing, he's feeling better, not tremendously better, but it's one of those things that could keep going on for some time.
That's fine, dude. They're always going to say that, but I'll tell you, I'll say something, dude, that as a fan, I mean, the coach, the manager is always going to say that, and those injuries are so hard because you can't see the injury.
Right.
It's like Bryce Harper, dude, who everybody thought had a concussion, had a bad knee. They were looking in the wrong spot. But Alex Cobb, here, Trevor Plouffe, he got, I don't know, kneed in the head or something, and he was out. They say he's coming back right away. No big deal. Just sit out for a few games. No, it took him like at least a month. Justin Morneau is a good example of somebody that had a concussion like 5 freaking years ago and never comes back. And
so much bigger than people would believe. And I live with it. I live to it with these days. When you get the concussion and you put yourself, you just don't feel good sometimes. And you know, my wife watches me very carefully because I've had many of them, and she watches me very carefully, and she knows when I'm in that. And you got to find someone who knows you. And if you're around guys that are around players all the time, like these baseball players, they know when they're ready to get back in there and when they're not.
Well, that's an easy one to hide if you don't feel like coming out of the game, or if you're like
worried
about.
That's not necessarily true.
It's a contract year and.
Yeah, I don't think it's as now since there's such awareness to it now, Andrea, I would say that's not necessarily a true statement. Back in the day, yeah, you can get away with that kind of stuff. But there's so much attention now on the concussions that people are aware. People know what's going on. And it's taken all these years to figure out that when players are screwball-y and acting weird, it probably has something to do with a knock in the head.
Well, we're seeing the long-term effects of it, what's happening
Absolutely.
Now. And, you know, this is – I'm not trying to make a joke out of something that's not funny, but I have to say what Lenny said to me the other day about, you know, in football it's one thing you get hit in the head, but it seems that this year it seems that we're seeing a lot of people getting hit in the head a lot, like with baseball.
Yep.
Like, I mean, just
I
last
agree.
Week we were talking about a pitcher that had got hit in the head and then, you know. But Lenny said maybe C-League should, like – make people wear helmets on their heads instead of cups. Nobody ever gets hit in the nuts. Do you ever hear of anybody getting hit? Nobody ever gets
a long-term injury.
Nobody ever gets a line drive to the nuts, dude. They never get fucking kneed. No, I mean, even with a cup, you would still see it, and you would still know because a guy would still feel it. So you would, the media would see it. We would see it. When you're hurt, we would know if it was your balls. And I just think it's hilarious what he said, because it's true. How come, like, how come the ball always gravitates towards somebody's head, it seems like?
Well, that's real. I mean, to me, I think it's real simple. When you're a pitcher and that ball is beginning
I'm talking
to
about
rise,
batting,
someone
like,
gets a hold of it, oh, hell yeah. It's coming off the bat and it's on its way up. And if it's and there's a normally line, obviously, long line drives that are.
Yeah, you're right. It goes up high in the infield.
Absolutely. Just raising it. It's like you shoot it out one of those cannons when you see a golf ball shot out of the cannon, how it just goes out there and just drifts up in the air and then it goes down. But it took a lot of power to get up to that point. That's what
don't
I kind of
look at. Don't you think it's ironic
that
we make base runners wear helmets, but the guy with the most dangerous job on the field, even more so than the catcher, because you're standing right in the line of fire, dude. There's nowhere
Absolutely.
You could be hit with more chance than as a pitcher. So you make batters run around with helmets, but you don't make fielders run around with helmets. You're standing right next to the
simple too, because the helmet won't stay on the head and not move. It'll always move, especially with the pitcher with all the torque that they're putting on the
ball. Dude, we can fucking send people to space, but we can't make a goddamn helmet, dude.
I'm just saying.
Put a fucking teeth thing in there. You know, if you bite on the if you have something to bite on, it will probably have. It's just gives you, I don't know, it curbs the brunt of the fall, I think, if you have something in your mouth. Well, it keeps you from biting your tongue off, first of all. And
right.
You just think these people could come up with a decent helmet, dude. We make freaking computers out of stopwatches, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't make a freaking helmet that keeps people's heads safe? But here's the thing, though, about your brain. Your brain is like I don't even know what to compare it to, but it's basically, it's just like a sponge. And so,
I'll tell you what your brain's like, okay?
It doesn't
your
fit
brain
properly in your skull. That's one of the problems. So when your head gets shuffled around, your brain is in there. There's nothing to hold it. Like, it needs a little more packing tape.
Right. Well, and that's what I kind of equate it, and I was doing this, we're trying to fit, when people ask me about what it's about. It's like your brain is like having a fishbowl, and you got too big of a fish.
Tofu is the consistency of it.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
It is.
And if you shake a fishing aquarium or a fishbowl. If you shake it, see, there's the concussion. I'm trying to find the words and I can't get them.
Well, because your brain smacks back and forth because it's not properly held in there. So even if we did have a huge, highly intelligent helmet, it still can't work for the fact that the brain is not properly implanted. I think we have a lot of room to grow now. You know,
Exactly. I think there's a way of putting, you know, in a Major League Baseball hat for pitchers. I mean, I don't think the other players need it more so than the pitchers and catchers. But I think there's
a way. Yeah, but it's so hard to see that. You know, I think it has to do with. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it gets in the pitcher's way. You can't see good with it.
Yes, I think there's a way of putting a very thin layer of plastic inside a pitcher's hat. Okay, to protect.
I mean, that's an innovation right there. That is a freaking.
Yeah.
That is going to come out if you don't do it. Someone's
been talking about it for 3 years. I've been talking about it for 3 years for major league pitchers to have just a little, and they're bendable plastic, and it'll cringe off the top of the hat because there's plastic on it, and protect the head. There's a way of doing it. I just don't know how they're going to do it, but a thin layer of plastic inside a pitcher's hat. Will protect them big time because that.
But
ball
they never.
Will
yeah, but yeah, you're
but
right. I agree. I think that's actually being marketed right now to teams as we speak.
You know, I've
think
been talking
I remember
about it. Yeah, 3 to 4 years I've been talking about that. You know, since I realized that the concussion is so huge because of my day to day struggles with it.
The
long term
effects couch are coming out, and they're. I mean, football is.
Good.
Either going to be a done deal, dude, or it's going to fucking find some helmets that keep people from killing themselves.
Yep, absolutely. And if they don't do something about it, it'll be more we'll hear more about it here in the next 4 or 5 years.
They're not going to let their kids play it. They're not going to let their kids watch it. You would have to, as a parent, dude, eventually say it's come to the point where we've done enough. We have enough evidence and we've done enough research to know that we just this is just too risky. Right now, dude, I don't think it's
especially
that like that. I think I'm talking about football, the game of football.
That too. Oh, hey, that's already happening, Andrea. All right.
I know.
I mean, you have a guy who's won Super Bowls coming out and saying, I wouldn't let my kid play. And I'm talking about Kurt Warner. Okay. Kurt Warner, Super Bowl champion, been in the Super Bowl 3 times, won 2 of them, saying, nope, it's just not worth it.
Lenny didn't want his kid to play. Lenny didn't want Mark to play. You know, here you're talking about a guy that's coached his whole life, and he's saying he doesn't want his kid to play. And it's like, wait a minute here, dude. We got to think about the benefits of this versus the, you know, chance that it might hurt him. I don't know. We can't walk through life saying this might hurt him.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. I get where Lenny's coming from. And in support of Lenny, all you got to do is have his son listen to one of my shows and watch me or listen to me searching for the words that I know what I'm thinking, but I can't get them to me. And it is so huge. I mean, I cannot tell you. And my concussions were football related. It's just the way it is. And I thank God I didn't play college or get any more. This was just high school. And
he's 14, so he doesn't pay attention to you if you're not speaking of something that is interesting to him at all.
Absolutely. That's the way 14 and
13. He's got a girlfriend now, so I think the football days might be over, and that's cool.
Yep, make him learn how to play baseball. Make him play, you know, at least not a pitcher or a catcher. Let him play somewhere else and make sure he has a helmet when he bats. So,
next month,
definitely.
We're going to Toronto, Detroit, and Cleveland. So,
wow.
Coffee, if you can make a game, is coffee still there?
I don't know. Let me just see. Coffee is still there.
Yeah, I'd like to meet up with some coffee, dude. We could cause a ruckus at some game.
Yeah,
I wonder where we could
help.
Meet up with coffee this summer.
Yeah.
Does he live by Milwaukee? I don't know. Is Minnesota by Milwaukee?
Yes, it's Milwaukee is Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're both right there.
Oh, Milwaukee must be south of Minnesota.
No, they're next door.
Chicago's right south of Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's
south...
6 hours from his house, is what he says.
Is it? It must be east then. Southeast.
Well,
how far is Toronto? Far. Too far.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where Toronto is compared to where he's at. He's right there
he's
right
now.
He's
far from Toronto. He's by
he's southeast.
He's outside of Chicago.
Yes.
6 hours.
Yes, he says it's southeast, so yes.
Maybe next time I go to Chicago, he could meet us. I got to go to a game with coffee, dude. I have to.
Well, I think that would be Minnesota. Probably Minnesota would be the better one.
I haven't been there, so I think I might.
So.
Yeah, so it's 6 hours east or west of. Okay, I'll find that
Milwaukee
out myself.
Milwaukee is 6 hours southeast of where he lives.
Okay, cool. All righty, dude. I'm going to let you go now, so I'll see you on Monday, and I'm going to have that clip about when Bartolo Colon, dude, just decided to take off.
You got it. We'll do that. We will do that on Monday. If everything works out, I should be here. If not, I'll be sitting at my desk. Give me a reminder call.
No problem.
For that. You got it. So we are done, everybody. Have a good weekend. Enjoy some Major League Baseball. For Andre, I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you. Hey, ISL football over on the Couch Potato Sports, and we're having a pregame show tonight of both games. The Colorado Ice, they are taking on the Nebraska Danger and the Titans and the Storm. Check that out tonight at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then the game's over the weekend. We're out of here. Bye-bye.